So today, I'd like to ask you, have you made New Year's resolutions? I mean, most people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions. And, a company polled in the United States, polled 2,000 people about their New Year's resolutions. And here's the list of the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2019. Like, we're right up to date. Of these 2,000 people, 71% said diet or eating healthier was their New Year's resolution. That was the number one thing that people were going to do, diet or eat healthier. 65% said they were going to exercise more. So if you combine those two, that's a good thing. 54% said that they were going to lose weight. So a few of those that in the first two categories weren't expecting to lose any weight. 32% said they're going to save more and spend less. 26% of people said they'd learn a new skill or a hobby. 21% said they would quit smoking. 17% said that they would read more. 16% were going to find a new job this year. 15% said they would drink less alcohol. I found that kind of interesting, quite a ways down. 13% said they would spend more time with family and friends. That saddened my heart. That in the list of New Year's resolutions, that spending time with family and friends was number 10. I guess I should be encouraged that it wasn't number 11 and not on the list. But I'm sure there's others out there who didn't make New Year's resolutions because they're more of the mindset of, you know, Calvin and Hobbes? They're more of the mindset of Calvin. Hobbes asked Calvin, you know, are you going to make any New Year's resolutions this year? And Calvin says, resolutions? Me? What are you implying? That I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am. And we can all hear Calvin saying that. So what is the New Year's resolution? How are they made up? Or what are they? And the other day I saw this, you know, these two characters are sitting there and one asks, what exactly is a New Year's resolution? And the other says to him, it's a to-do list for the first week of January. I thought, I think there's some reality in that. There's some reality. I'm sure there's people, you know, we're the sixth day of January now in the new year, 6 days in, and there's probably people who've made New Year's resolutions and have gone, forget it. I'm out here. I'll try this again next January. Or there's people that never even got them started. They never even made the first week. The word resolution would come from the word resolve. The definition of resolve is to decide firmly a course of action or to have firm determination to do something. Now, isn't that what a resolution is? Isn't it deciding to have a firm course of action? I'm going to save more money. So because I want to save more money, I'm going to spend less. Or in the resolution, having a firm determination to do something. I'm going to do it no matter what. And that's what a resolution is. As Christians, I believe we need to be people who are resolved to do things. We need to be people who are firmly decided what we are going to do and do it with great determination. Sounds like work and everybody's tuning me out, right? But isn't that how Paul lived his life? We read in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24, and this is what we read. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of grace. See, Paul is headed for Jerusalem. But on his way, he's passed through a number of cities, and he's been warned that hardships await him there. So how many of you, if you knew that hardships were going to await you would go there? Most of us would go, oh, there's an easier way. I can find a way around this, and we'll just skip the hardships. But that's not Paul. He's resolved, firmly decided to follow Jesus because he knows that's where Jesus is leading him, to Jerusalem. He's decided without a doubt that he's going to finish what he has been called to do. I mean, we also read in Philippians, which is Paul talking, chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, brothers, I do not consider myself yet taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal. Sounds like somebody's pretty resolved to go forward, to move forward, to do what Jesus has for him in his life. I don't think there's any question. Paul's a man who's resolved that he will follow Jesus to the end, no matter what it takes or where it takes him. Paul was stoned. He was whipped 5 times, beaten with a rod 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times, left for dead a number of times, worked hard, went without sleep, went without food, went without water. Yet through it all, he was resolved to follow Jesus. Will we follow Jesus? Are we resolved to follow Jesus no matter what? I mean, if our family and friends ridicule us and make fun of us because we're following Jesus, will we still follow Jesus? Will we still go there? What if the nation that we live in declares that worshiping Jesus is against the law and we cannot gather together and worship Jesus? In fact, you cannot have a Bible. Will you still follow Jesus? Are we resolved to following Jesus no matter what? I'm not thinking that we will have to experience what Paul did, but really, we don't know. Our life could be on the line at any time because we're living for Jesus. No matter what we face, one of our New Year's resolutions must be that we will follow Jesus at all times. It's important when we resolve to do something that what we resolve to do is right and not wrong. I mean, there are people who resolve to do things that are wrong. We just have to look at the news headlines and look at how many people are resolved to be in a gang, or how many people are resolved to be in ISIS and do things that will harm people. Or others have resolved to eat unhealthy, or not to exercise, or not to take care of themselves. I mean, people have resolved to do the wrong thing. There are those who have resolved to drink and party hard, or deal be involved in their addictions. There are people who are resolved to have an affair. There are people who are resolved to do what is wrong. I mean, even Paul, before he became a Christian, had a firm resolution to destroy the Christian faith. Listen to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Sounds to me that Paul, at this stage of his life, is pretty resolved in destroying the Christian church and the faith. Paul and ISIS and others who are resolved to doing things that are wrong, we need to be people who are resolved to do things that are right, that line up with God's word. Moses was resolved to do what is right. Hebrews 11, 24 to 25 declares, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Moses had it made in the eyes of the world. I mean, he was raised in Pharaoh's home. Pharaoh's daughter was his stepmom, as it might be. And he had everything in Egypt at his disposal. But he knew it was against God. And Moses chose to do what was right and forsake that lifestyle and live under the hardship of being an Israelite, a Jew. We could also look at the lives of Joseph and David and others in the Bible who were resolved, who firmly decided to do what is right, even when it was hard times. And not to say that those people in the Bible that resolved to do right never failed and did everything right and never did wrong. Don't lift them up on a pedestal. I mean, David murdered Uriah, or had Uriah murdered. I mean, they're just people like you and I, and we're not perfect, and we're not doing right 100% of the time, but we need to be people who are resolved to do right, and they were. We are exhorted in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Peter's telling us that as we are looking forward to the return of Jesus, we need to make every effort. In other words, we need to be resolved, to be firmly decided to be spotless and blameless. We must make every effort to be resolved to do what is right. There might be times when we are tempted to give up. But the truth is, as Moses realized, the times when we're tempted to give up does not compare to the eternal rewards that we have with Jesus. I mean, there might be some temporary rewards that look really good, and it might mean it's life's easier right now. But the eternal rewards of doing what is right with Jesus far outweighs that. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. That scripture's always grabbed me when it says to all people, especially to the family of believers. In other words, even those outside the family, we're to do good. To do good is to do right. There are times in our lives where we are tempted just to say, What is the point of it? I've done right. I've done right. I've done right. I've done right. And this is what I've reaped. It doesn't look fair. But you know, it's okay to be tempted. But may we not give up, but resolve to do what is right. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't give up. At the proper time, in God's time, we will reap the harvest. And the harvest will far outweigh anything that we face right now. In 2019, we must make a resolution to do right, to do what Jesus and his word would have us do. Today, I would like to look at one more resolution we should make. And this resolution would be to serve the Lord. We need to resolve firmly, determined in our actions to serve Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:58 exhorts, "Therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." To always give ourselves to the work of the Lord is to firmly set our actions and do it. I mean, to always give ourselves is to say, "I'm doing it." Not just today, not just for a week, but I'm going to do it. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until Jesus comes. To give fully to the work of the Lord is to have a firm determination to do the work of the Lord. In other words, Paul is saying to us, we need to be resolved to serve Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. With everything we have, we need to be there to serve Jesus. Where would we, as individuals, be today if Abraham, Joseph, David, Mary, Paul, Peter, Billy Graham, our moms, our dads, our neighbors, were not resolved to serve Jesus? Where would we be if those people before us were not resolved, if there was nobody before us that was resolved to serve Jesus? Where would we be? Yeah, we're here today only because there were those who resolved to serve Jesus. They were those who resolved to pray for us. I don't think my Elijah shared with me that he believed, and I believe the same thing, that everyone who's in the kingdom of God has been prayed into the kingdom of God. Somebody has prayed for us, whether it's a mom or a dad or a friend or a stranger. Somebody has prayed us into the kingdom of God because they were resolved to serve Jesus in that. There are people who are resolved to serve Jesus as Sunday school teachers, as youth leaders. They're resolved. Where would we be if we didn't have those people? People who are resolved to serve Jesus. People who resolved to mentor us, to walk with us. They're resolved to serve Jesus, and because of their resolve, we are here today. Well, that's all good. That's good. But there are people who will come to know Jesus if we are resolved to serve Jesus. If we're not resolved to serve Jesus, if we're not resolved to serve Jesus, then the next generation is gone. Because they won't know who Jesus is. There won't be people praying for them. There won't be people who are doing church. There won't be people who are doing Sunday school. There won't be people who are witnessing to their and just sharing God's love to their neighbors. When we resolve to serve Jesus, we become his hands, his feet, his voice extended to others out there. It is January the 6th, and if you have not made a New Year's resolution yet this year, I would encourage you to do so. It's not too late. We need to be resolved that we are going to follow Jesus no matter what. We need to be resolved that we will do what is right, even if it seems hard at times, even if it seems that we're just fighting against everything. We need to be resolved to serve Jesus so others can experience his love and his grace. May we decide to take a firm course of action, to have firm determination to carry out these resolutions. May we be resolved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you were resolved. You were resolved that mankind would have a way to be in your family. You were resolved to it so much that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. We have not been asked to give of our lives for the kingdom. But Lord, may we be resolved to follow Jesus. May we be resolved to do what is right, no matter what the consequence is. May we be resolved to serve you, that others might know our wonderful Savior and Lord. And Father, we can only be resolved as you give us what we need to be resolved. So we ask that you would fill us with the strength and energy and wisdom to fulfill these resolutions, and that they, as we fill them, you would be glorified and the kingdom would grow. In Jesus' name, amen.